So let's talk about the digestive system, right? We're going to start at this phallic response. I'll talk about what that is. We're going to go to the mouth. What's happening in the mouth? What are the key items? What's the role of the microbiome there? What happens in the stomach? And what goes wrong if things aren't working right in the stomach? What is the role of the liver and the gallbladder? What's the pancreas and the pancreatic enzymes doing? What happens in the small bowel, and eventually what happens in the large bowel? And as we go through this, you'll get a nice overview of how each of these systems functions, and of course, what's the role of a healthy microbiome in each of those systems' functionality. But to start, let's look at transit time, right? So I get a lot of questions about this generally on social media and all that about what is the normal transit time for food to make its way through the digestive tract? And knowing this information is critically important. And also, calculating or measuring your own transit time is also critically important, right? So, when we're talking about transit time, we're talking about once you swallow the food, it makes its way down the esophagus, enters the stomach. How long does it take from when it enters the stomach all the way through defecation? Right. So the stomach is generally between 1 and 4 hours, right? So the food can spend as much as 4 hours in somebody's stomach. Right now, on average, you want to be around 2 hours, right? 1.5 to 2 hours is a much more average normal time. You don't want to be 1 hour or less, then it's moving too fast. And you probably don't want to be closer to 4 hours because then you're having gastric emptying issues and it's moving too slowly. But around 2 hours is about ideal. In the small intestine, once it drops in, it can be anywhere from 3 to 6 hours. And in this case, you really want to be in that 4 hour range, 4 to 5 hour range. It's okay if it's at 6 hours. It typically will depend on your fiber intake and a few other things about your diet itself. But normally, you want to be right kind of in the middle of this range, right around 4 to 5 hours with some variation. But less than 3 hours is way too fast. And then much more than 6 hours, if it's 7, 8 hours, then the bowels are moving way too slow, right? Talk about Ozempic. This is where one of the effects occurs with Ozempic. So some of the things that dictate the motility, and I'll talk about motility, are signals from the gut that go through the vagus nerve and to the brain. One of the things that the peptides do is it skips the vagus nerve and it goes right to this brain stem where it triggers a neurological response to slow down the bowels. So then the bowels go extremely slow. That's part of what makes you feel full for a long, long period of time and causes people not to eat. That's how it causes weight loss. That's also how it helps with blood sugar regulation for diabetics, because the slower the gastric motility is, the slower the absorption of glucose, and it blunts the postprandial glucose curve, and it also makes you feel full longer, so you don't eat as much sugar and calories and so on, right? But there's a downside to that, because you also don't want your bowels to be too slow. Too slow, in the case of the peptides, of course, one of the potential side effects is it creates complete stasis in your bowel, where your bowel doesn't move. So the food's not actually moving through. And we'll go over motility and moving through in more detail. But it also then sets up room for issues like putrefaction, inflammation, overgrowth, all kinds of other disturbing things, which is probably what leads to some of these side effects that are known from the peptides, like gallbladder dysfunctions and other inflammatory conditions, right? So we don't want the bowels to completely stop or slow down. In the case of the small intestine, you want to be around 4 or 5 hours. And then the large bowel, you can be anywhere from 10 to 60 hours. The healthy level is around that 18 to 30 hour mark. It's a big spread, but it's really dependent on the diversity of your microbiome. What is the amount of fiber that you're consuming in your diet? Is it soluble fiber, insoluble fiber? I'll talk a little bit more about those as I go along, but fiber generally is really important, but you can tweak transit time by increasing soluble or decreasing insoluble and so on. You can do some of those tweaks a little bit. I'll talk about that towards the end, how you can do some of those things. So overall, transit time is anywhere from 14 to 48 hours, but in some individuals, it can go as high as 72 hours, right? In reality, where you really want to be is a couple hours in the stomach, so about 2 hours there. 4 to 5 hours in the small intestine. So you're looking at about 6 hours there total. And then another like 15, let's say 20 hours, right? 20, 25 to 30 hours in the large bowel. So you're anywhere from, you know, around 26 to 36 hours for total transit time. Even up to 48 hours is probably okay, but you really don't want to be at 72 hours. And lots of people do clock in at 72 hours. Now, it's really important to test your transit time, right? And it'll come up as we go through other slides in terms of functionality. So how do you test your transit time? Well, some people might be aware, one of the easiest ways is to eat a meal. Make sure you haven't eaten a meal for at least 7-8 hours, and then eat a well-balanced meal. Don't go too high in protein, too high in fat, or too high in fiber. Just kind of eat a very well-balanced meal. What does that mean? You know, I would say something like, 20, 25 grams of protein, maybe 15, 20 grams of fat, and then 15, 20 grams of fiber. So try to be about equivalent. It doesn't have to be precise. I'm just saying don't eat a meal with 150 grams of protein, or don't eat a meal with, 200 grams of fiber in it, because it's going to screw up your normal transit time calculation, right? So eat a somewhat balanced meal, but eat a lot of beets in that meal, right? And what you're looking for then is the time from which you swallow that meal. And then you notate the first time in the toilet that you start to see the pigment from the beets coming out, right? Not the last time, the first time you see it coming out. So that's going to be like the leading edge of your meal coming out first. And you will see red in the toilet. And when you do, of course, don't be alarmed. You're not bleeding. It's the beets, right? That the coloration from the beets remains red throughout the digestive system. Beets are a good one because a lot of other colored fruits and vegetables, the color can change in the digestive tract. So you can't really pick up the distinct color in the toilet. In the case of beets, you can pick that up and it'll be really telling. You want to measure your gastric motility time because you don't want it to be 10 hours and you don't want it to be 70 hours, right? As I mentioned, you want it to be somewhere in that 20s to even low 30 hours. And then you know your digestive system is generally functioning okay, and there isn't something really alarming about the transit time. So know your transit time. It's an important thing to keep in mind. Now, here are some factors that I mentioned that can upregulate transit time. So things that may speed up transit time is high fiber, right? And keep in mind, insoluble fiber, right? Soluble fiber can actually slow down your transit time. So this is a little bit of a tweak you can do. And I'll talk about the Bristol stool chart at the end as well, but I'll mention it here. If the chart is showing you like you're type 7-ish and your stool is very runny, which means you have a very fast transit time, and then you measure your transit time and it is a very fast transit time, you're getting like 8, 10, 12 hours, then you want to slow down your transit time and you want to increase your intake of insoluble fiber. So just Google what is insoluble fiber, what are the sources of insoluble fiber, and just use any of those kind of insoluble fibers, and then measure your transit time again to see if you've been able to slow it down. What you'll be able to do is figure out what amount of insoluble fiber your gut needs per meal in order to slow down the transit time to a normal time, right? If you're at like 10 hours transit time and you're going, I want to go to like 20, 21 hours, because that's a much more reasonable transit time. And we'll talk about why that's important. And then you look at your stool consistency, you can start by adding in 20 grams of insoluble fiber with a meal, see how that goes, right? And then next time add 30 or 40 grams, see how that goes. You can find an amount that actually gives you enough slow down your thing by adding soluble fiber that can slow down your transit time in a way that is really beneficial to you. So Google insoluble fiber and soluble fiber, use the two. Take insoluble fiber if your transit time is too slow, and take soluble fiber if your transit time is too fast. I might have said that backwards earlier. I apologize. Those are the two things that you can tweak in your diet in order to dial in your transit time. Adequate hydration. So hydration will speed up your transit time. So you, if it's really slow, you may not be hydrating your food enough. So you may not be drinking enough either during the meal, and you don't want to drink too much during the meal, but you may not be hydrated generally, right? So in between meals, you want to think about hydrating and keeping that up appropriately. Regular physical activity also improves transit time if you're too slow. And again, when you're too slow, we're talking about going beyond 48 hours, right? So you're at that 50, 60 hour mark. Too fast is you're in that less than 20 mark, especially if you're in that 8 to 12-ish hour time. Healthy gut motility, so peristalsis, NMMC, so fasting and a few other things can upregulate that. The healthy microbiome, which the production of short-chain fatty acids, especially butyrate, can improve transit time if you're going too slow. And then low to moderate fat in the meals. If your transit time is too slow and you're eating a high-fat diet typically, you might want to reduce the fat intake to speed up your transit time, right? Because fat does slow down your transit time. And then supporting a healthy and adequate stomach acid, bile, digestive enzymes, and so on. So these are some of the tricks you can do to speed up the transit time once you measure it and you see that you're too slow. And then these are the things that you can do to slow down your transit time if you're too fast, right? Low fiber intake typically means a fast transit time. But if your transit time is really fast and you do want to slow it down, increase your soluble fiber, right? Not your insoluble fiber. So you want to be able to distinguish between soluble and insoluble fiber. You may be dehydrated. You tend to have higher fats in meals, potentially. A sedentary lifestyle does slow down your transit time too much. Stress and anxiety, of course, will inhibit motility. Medications, there are numerous medications that are known to slow down transit time. Gut dysbiosis and then hypothyroidism as well can slow down the transit time. So again, transit time is very important. Know your transit time. Try to be somewhere in that, you know, low 20s to low 30s in terms of hours. So anywhere from 34, 35-ish hours. You don't want to be in the 50s and 60s, and you don't want to be in the 10s or even low teens on your transit time, right? And you can use things to adjust the transit time. We'll talk about a little bit more about what happens if you're too slow, too fast as you're going through. And then overeating. This is a very important one. This is one that probably most people do to slow that creates a too slow transit time is the meals that you're eating are too big, right? So you're going beyond that satiety mark and going to that mark of being way too full.